on the phone now to Jerry Howell in Sholo, Arizona. And good evening, Jerry. How are you, first of all?
Good evening. I'm fine, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm very well. And in full disclosure, he's a family member, and I'm happy and proud to say that.
Well, thank you.
Very good. I wanted to talk to you to try to get kind of a bird's eye view of what it's like with the wildfires going on. What are the conditions around Sholo, Arizona today?
In Sholo, the wind's down today, and the skies are fairly clear. We see the large plumes off to the east. The fire is approximately 50, 55 miles straight east of Sholo, and depending on the wind and which way they're blowing determines where the sites of the plumes are and the severity. We've had some smoke, not for the last 2 days, but prior to that we were having some smoke, dense smoke, during parts of the day.
Well, and is what I'm hearing in your voice from breathing smoke?
It actually is. I was out over the weekend for one of our major events, Sholo Days, and it was pretty steep on Saturday, and I just heard this morning on the news that in Springerville, they described the visibility in Springerville as one car length.
Oh, my.
And this is all from dense smoke. The fire has not entered that area just yet, but it's that close.
And how close is it then to you? Is it in about the 50-mile range? Is this the Wallow Fire we're talking about? Because there's two major fires happening.
Yes, it is. This is a Wallow. It's about 55 miles straight line from our door here in Sholo, which would mean it's 5 to 10 miles from the New Mexico border.
I just can't imagine as you spend your whole day following the news on this kind of thing. And what are they telling you? Are you hearing anything about evacuation, or have you lived through these kinds of things before and kind of know, you know, what the drill is and what to listen for?
Actually, Cheryl, the biggest fire in Arizona's history was in 2002, the Rodeo Chedisky Fire. And that directly affected Sholo, and there was an evacuation of Sholo, Pine Top, and Lakeside, which are three communities that are adjacent to each other. So those that were living here at that time, this brings back strong memories of what it was like seeing the red flames on the horizon and the need to evacuate and leave town, not knowing if you would return and have home and, in many cases, livestock and possessions. So our day-to-day news is normally evolving around how many acres have now been involved, which is, it's approaching, and this is a variable. This morning they announced that the smoke had cleared enough that they actually realized there wasn't quite as much burn, but we're still looking at plus or minus 350,000 acres of land that have been burned. And it's the sad part, well, it's always sad when it's a fire like that. This perhaps is some of Arizona's most beautiful scenery. Steep canyon walls, old, old forests of ponderosa pine, tremendous hunting area, lots of lakes and streams, and it's gone. With the fire and the intensity of the fire has been inflamed because of the winds. We've had high gusty winds for the last week or so on and off, which is just fueled this fire and produced this fire to a point where it's out of control. At this point in time, we have not heard from the fire commands that any of the fire is contained. Usually, you know, you long for those moments where they say, well, it's 10% contained or 20%. There's nothing contained in this fire at this point in time.
Well, and I keep hearing this, too, you know, watching cable news and trying to keep track of this, and I'm hearing the exact same thing. When they say nothing is contained, one of the reports I read, Jerry, talked about being one of the firefighters said this is our gargantuan task, and I think that may even be an understatement. You talked about the trees and the forest and how beautiful this part of the country is. All of those trees and canyons and so forth, the trees are providing the fuel, but the terrain is also making it very difficult to contain, I would think, too.
Extremely difficult. I mean, you just don't pull a truck up the side of a mountain and having ample supplies of water. It's just very difficult and dangerous for the firefighters. In some cases, there's just no way to touch it. You have to build fire breaks way out ahead. This morning it was encouraging. One of the fire information centers was saying that they actually felt like some of the breaks that have been established are going to begin to take place, meaning will begin to take control and perhaps begin this point of where they can say, we have the fire contained. But until they go back in, he was explaining, they get the fire dampened down, and then they go back in, and they have to, for about 300 feet from the perimeter edge of the fire, they go through walking in all of this perimeter to make sure that stumps are dug out that happen to be still burning, logs that are burning are broken up and water poured on them before they can stay contained. And in the process, there have been communities that are evacuating the Springerville area that you probably hear on national news. Springerville, Eager are the two towns, Alpine, Nutrioso. Those towns have been evacuated. And a lot of them are coming toward the Sholo, Pine Top, Lakeside area. Blue Ridge High School was the first evacuation center. That's located at Lakeside. And then Sholo High School will be the next one set up for evacuation. Residents are bringing in supplies from diapers to water to, you know, toiletries and the like. And another big issue I mentioned earlier was this is an area of ranching over there, so we have hundreds of horses and cattle that need to be dealt with as well.
And that problem alone, the logistics of that alone are staggering.
Well, they are. I mean, you've got to get them out of there and transporting. You know, I just heard recently our rodeo grounds here in Sholo has 80-some horses that have been brought in the last couple of days. And another small community has opened up for any of the livestock that people want to try to get there. But it's 50 miles, so you load them up, you haul whatever you can over 50, 60 miles, drop them off, and go back and get the next load. It's a time-consuming thing, and people are doing the best they can. They've gone through this before, some of them, and they're doing the best they can.
Well, I guess the good news that comes out of an experience like this, since trying hard to control it and working against it right now, is neighbor helping neighbor. That probably comes through loud and clear.
Oh, it's a great story. As I said, we weren't here for the 202, but I hear again and again of how the surrounding communities helped out and the people and the evacuations. They commented about that when Sholo went through that in 2002. And they showed a picture of the cars leaving Springerville, and it's very orderly, considerate of other people trying to get out of town. And just a long stream of taillights. There's about 8,000 people or so over in that area that are beginning to move out and moving to wherever they can. The campgrounds have opened up around here. Some of the parks, the state parks, are welcoming campers in there, and they're just crowding them in wherever they can. I was with a group in a meeting this morning. The guy said, I can take 5 RV units on my property. I live outside of town. And so those places are being made known to the evacuees to try to give them some temporary housing, at least, because there's no telling how long this is going to be before these people can go back in.
Well, and that's one of the things in one of the reports I read, Jerry, was talking about. This is going to be a long time, you know, trying to, when we talk about none of it being contained, there's a long road ahead. What are they, when you're told to evacuate, is this an order? I mean, you have to evacuate? Are you ordered out? Or, I mean, how does that work?
They give you a pre-evacuation notice, so that's been announced, and then they come by, and you have to sign off if you refuse to leave the property. Okay. And there are some people that do that. They feel like they have enough of a surrounding border that will not cause their place to burn, and they don't want to leave what livestock they have, so they will sign off. Gutsy move, mm-hmm. but that indeed is what happened. But once they're out, they are out. Then the police and the authorities keep them away from their property once they do agree to go. And, you know, they ask them to leave, and you don't always get to pack every single thing that you want, nor do you have a vehicle or trailer or whatever to load everything that you want to take. And sometimes you're being asked to go, and then maybe your home doesn't burn for 3 or 4 or 5 days, but you can't go back in. So it's traumatic. It really is. And so you see these people in these evacuation centers, and they're hauling in with a station wagon or a car full of everything they can, including debts and whatever, and they're at the mercy of the people of this area trying to help them out to get through this this traumatic time.
Well, and as I'm listening to your voice, because I know what you normally sound like, I'm a little concerned about health precautions. Are they telling you to wear like a mask or something for smoke?
I haven't heard that, but that no doubt is coming about because it is steep. And, you know, when I told you earlier, when you're defining distance of visibility as the length of a car, I don't want to breathe much of that stuff myself. Arizona's always been known for clean air. Come out to Arizona if you have a lung problem. Well,
not today.
Not today. That's for sure. And there are other fires throughout the state, and we're hearing things that people are seeing smoke up into Colorado and as far east as, I think they said, Iowa.
I did hear that.
Yeah, so it's a massive fire. There's a tremendous amount of fuel over there that, you know, this area probably hasn't been burned for centuries. forests take care of themselves by burning themselves out every so often. Usually it's a result of a lightning strike during the monsoon seasons. It's healthy for the forest. One of the things that my wife and I attended a seminar when we first got here, and the guy said, here's the situation. Either you take care of the forest, or the forest will take care of the forest. And this one, unfortunately, it seems to be traced back to a very unfortunate decision of lighting a campfire, leaving the campfire, and the campfire took off.
Well, Jerry, I'm sorry. We're up against a hard break here. I can't thank you enough for giving us kind of an inside look at what it's like to live in this and the apprehension that comes with it. Thank you so much for your time tonight. You and Vicki, stay safe.
Hey, thank you for your interest.
Thank you so much.